Well, good evening, brothers and sisters, members of the Republic. Welcome to the Republic Roundtable, week 42, April 26, 2012. Yes, it is time to restore the Republic and to take our freedom back. This is a sound check. We have an assistant technician on the board for this evening, and that's Pat Walther. Pat, can you hear me? Hello, Pat. Are you with us? How about one of our guests, Mark Gardner? Can you hear me? Hello.
Yeah, Robert, I'm here. Hi.
Very, very good. Sound check, we're good?
Yes, sounds good.
Thank you, sir.
And this is Bernie.
All right, Bernie, very good. Well, gentlemen, this evening we have our agenda set out. For those of you who do not receive a weekly agenda of the roundtable, I'd like you to, if you're interested in receiving one, go ahead and put in questions at republic@theunitedstates.org and request to be put on the mailing list. We've changed the format a little bit. If you look at your agenda this week, we have a technical assistant this week. Pat Walther is stepping in for Janine. Janine's out of town at a meeting. I am your host, Robert Zuluaga, and we have revised some of the weekly calls. We're not having a Sunday call anymore for time being in the Republic, but I realized that we had not been advertising the Congress call, which is on Tuesday. So you can listen in the gallery to the Congress calls, and that information is now listed on the weekly agenda. And also, if you have friends who you'd like to let know about the Republic and plug into some of our updates and things we're doing, feel free to forward this agenda. And there's a replay hyperlink on there. So we're really endeavoring to take the necessary steps to systematically grow our numbers and duplicate ourselves across the United States. And that's the whole theme of our show this this evening. We're going to have some presidential updates. The president's gone for a bite to eat, so he'll come on when he does. We'll have preparedness following on from what the president talked about last week. We'll have a guest speaker, Robert McCoy, here from Arizona, who's very familiar with preparedness. I did not have an opportunity to send you the links, so just bear with us, and I've asked Chuckers if he would post that on Republic SG this evening so that it's there for you. It's just a guideline, and you can use it and add to it and make notes on it yourself. We then are going to have a Growing the Republic section, and we've got contributions from Representative Mark Gardner, Senator Bernie Schock, Mark Hafner, and we'll be looking at some of the IT infrastructure, some ideas about networking, some ideas about how to use technology to develop your state database, your county database, and to have a real integral system that allows you to receive inquiries, run them through the process. Anyway, we'll talk more about that as we get going. I don't want to preempt it, just want to give you a bit of a bird's eye. You would have received some PDFs along with the mailing this evening. All right, so we have great joy to invite our chaplain, Wade Butler, to open us in a word of prayer. So, Wade, I invite you to the call, and let us take our hearts to the Lord.
Thank you, Robert. You know, we're in a time of God's equipping, and it's a time when a lot of people are really struggling trying to find out who they belong to and where they are. And there's a word that was in my heart today, and it was confirmed through a message that came out in my devotionals this morning. And the Lord said, I'm designating a time to build up a blessing for you to claim and to walk into, to identify who you are in this nation, your inheritance, and what your blessings are. So, Lord Yahweh, we come before you. You are our Savior, our salvation, our hope, our deliverer, our King. You hold the universe in your hand. And you said that you're equipping us, Lord. You're equipping us to give us the proper understanding of what we're to accomplish and do in the days ahead. And you even give us surprises as you prepare things for us and show us the way, Lord. And in this transition, you said we're not to be anxious or to be fearful, but to be ready. And Lord, this call tonight and that which we're doing in the Republic is to help our steps align perfectly with you, that you would be glorified and we'd be prepared. And in this, Lord, that the kingdom would be furthered. In Isaiah 52:12, you say that we shall not go out in haste, nor by flight or fright. For the Lord our God will go before us, and you will be our rear guard. So, Father, you are our creator. You hold the universe in your hand, and it's through the blood of your precious Son that we are able to go forward. So we thank you for these things. We thank you for this night. I ask that you give the speakers wisdom, discernment, and revelation knowledge as to what needs to be done, and that all through this time tonight it be ordered and that you'd receive the glory. And we thank you in Jesus, Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen, Brother Wade. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. And it's a delight to have you on the call. I know that you're normally unavailable on Thursday. So welcome, and look forward to you staying with us through the call. All right. I do not see the president yet on the board. So I'm going to go forward here with a little bit more explanation on some of our paperwork here. You would have received a PDF entitled Republic Prototype on a Boarding System. You would have received another PDF from Mark Gardner, giving a bit of a schematic, a mind map. And when Chuckers tells me that he has loaded up the survival preparedness onto his website, you will have that. You'll be able to pick that up on Republic SG. So, for now, I would like to just give a bit of a framework here of where we're going. As we all know, we are right on the heels of having our funding, having each of the states figuring out how they are going to approve the funding, receive the funding from national. We have national working with the different committees trying to iron out the necessary steps in terms of appropriations, et cetera. So there's a lot of work happening in our legislature. There's a lot of work happening in each of your states. And there's a lot of pieces that we are looking to put into place here, as the president warned at the beginning of this year, very quickly. There's a section that we have to be mindful of just as much, and that is when we start having thousands upon tens of thousands upon millions joining this republic, we have to look at what is the framework, what's the structure that we're going to put into place. We retired the ambassador program a year or more ago, and we haven't really had any systematic way for us to grow our respective states. There's been, I think, a lot of floundering in that regard. And so tonight we're hoping to put some light on that. These are offerings from an ad hoc group. This is something that we feel is important for us to be looking at, each of us as a state, each of us as a county, each of you, wherever you are, in terms of growing a systematic system for us to be able to take the influx of people who we feel will be coming into the Republic. And it's much better to be looking at that in advance than it is scurrying around in chaos and confusion because we haven't thought about it. So I don't yet see our preparedness guest. So we're going to go straight in to the Growing the Republic. And to start that off, I'd like to invite you, Representative Gardner, to lay out a bit of a blueprint and a picture here, your mind map that you've talked about. And let's start there. So good evening, sir.
Well, thank you, Robert. Good evening, everyone. I appreciate the opportunity to be on the roundtable tonight. The concept of this mind map came out of a May 2011 project that I put together for Nevada to basically give everyone a function in Nevada because we were not getting a lot of people involved. And it was called a Republic Action Group. Out of that came the initial ideas that developed this mind map, and we formed an ad hoc committee, or just this kind of an informal committee that Janine stuck all of us together with ideas. And we created something called the Set Them Free Committee. That was the name of the committee that we started. That committee kind of dissolved a little bit, and I just carried it forward and worked with Pat Walter on this mind map that you guys have a copy of. Now, the one you have is an earlier version. It's a little simpler to understand. I have a later version that's a little more complex, but the principles are all the same. The principle is this, that we need an automated system to help us absorb the masses of people that are going to come at us. Using the current system, we would never be able to handle the volume. So the idea is that, well, let me introduce the pieces of the system to you first, and then I'll try to get go on from there. The pieces of the system are the new member town hall team. This is a group that does nothing but town halls. There's town hall specialists. Each of these areas that I'm mentioning here are specialists, and they do only that function. So that way you get experts, and you know, there's no confusion. So the first team is the new member town hall team. The next one is the new member town hall teleconference team. So you can have physical town halls, and you can have a teleconference for those people who can't quite, don't have the time to make it or don't want to come to a formal meeting. They just want to hear about it. Their jobs are just to basically present the Republic. After the member has attended a new member town hall team of some sort, a couple days later, after that list is given from the town hall team, they would give it to the Q&A team. The Q&A team would then call that member and follow up. So they're kind of like a follow-up team, and they're going to answer any questions that new potential member might have about the Republic. That's all those people do, is answer questions. Okay, now, if the member decides that they're going to sign up, then either the Q&A team signs them up via the website form and then goes through the automated process, which I'm going to describe, or they refer them to a website and they can do it themselves. The Congress is talking about a two-tiered system right now where, well, I don't want to get into a whole lot of Congress stuff, but basically this system will allow a person to come through just to, as a general member, or they can go on to a full-fledged member where they get sworn in through a naturalization process. Okay, so after you leave the Q&A team, basically we go into the Member Services Representative Team. Now, this is the MSR team. And I'm introducing these, so I don't want to get into a lot of technical stuff here. The next team, that the primary purpose of the MSR team is to process the individual. Then we go on to the integration team. That team is supposed to integrate them into the Republic so that, you know, we don't want to just bring people in, sign them up, and then they don't do anything or have any function. We got to integrate them into the system. So that's the purpose of the integration team. After the integration team, we have the education team and Freedom Library. The Freedom Library is all the videos and all the data that is to educate the public. So going through this now, the concept is that you come onto a website. You come onto the national website, you select a state, then out of the state, you select on a county map, you select the county that you are in. At that point, it takes you into the website for that county. You would then fill out a website form, and that would allow you to preview or edit that application prior to sending it to the MSR team. I don't know, Robert, do you want me to go through each aspect of this mind map, how it works, or just kind of a general overview?
You know, I think that's really good for a start, because what you're doing is setting the tone. I think after Bernie has presented the diagrams that he has laid out in the next PDF, it'll then, what you have to say will really take on more liveliness. So,
okay.
Are you good with that?
Sure.
Okay.
So I want to divert here just for a second. Basically, this is not being forced down anyone's throat. This is a recommended procedure to standardize all the recruiting across the entire republic. The states, we recommend that the states follow this plan, and it's up to each individual state to decide whether they want to participate or not. So this is not a top-down, you will do this type of situation. This is just a recommended thing that we're putting out there for your consideration. So I want to make sure that everyone understands that. Okay, so anyhow.
Well, Mark, I just want to speak into that to say I just appreciate deeply what you and Bernie and others have done in terms of putting some brain power into the whole idea of thinking through a system and thinking through some potentials here. You know, of course, every state's going to do what they want to do, but just the very idea of having something, just like we had Pat Walther last week talk about what she's done for Missouri, that's just really helpful for people to get their arms around to go, oh, yeah, I get it. So no apologies needed, and thanks for the clarification on that.
Sure. Thank you. Okay, so after the website form, the member fills out they fill out the website form on the website. You get to preview or edit your application. When you're happy, you hit enter. When that happens, the member receives a printed application. It prints the application to a PDF. With a specific doc number for the MSR data review. That could be your permanent Republic ID number if we're going to go with that kind of a system, if you want to have ID numbers for passports and those kinds of things. At this point, that initial generation of a number could be applied to future documents if we're going to go down that route. I don't know. at that point, as the member receives a printout of his own application, there's also an autoresponder that sends out a response to them that's going to tell them basically what's going to happen next. You know, here's your welcome packet. System sends the MSR an email, who then the MSR team then receives that email saying that there's a fish on the line there. And that here's the application. So that is now in a temporary database. The application's in the temporary database until that MSR person can accept the application as is, or if there's doubt, like if they think Mickey Mouse or Donald Duck is applying and it's not a real person, they can call up the person and verify that it is a real thing and not a hoax. Once the MSR team is happy with the application, then it goes to a permanent database and gets passed on down the line. And I'll skip some of the side notes on the mind map there. But it goes, files an application with the state's records bureau. The data is sent to the master database, and a welcome letter is generated to the member saying, welcome to the Republic. And then it tells them what the next steps are. It ends up with the integration team. Again, it stops here. It stopped at the MSR for review, not stopping at integration for review. The integration team basically has a applicant database and a job database. So if a person's going to be a volunteer, a public servant, or an employee, they would be on that job database. So what's this? The application should have their skills on the initial website form, so that when it gets to the integration team, they can see what the skills of the person are and match them up to the needs of the Republic. And so you have an integration database. So at this point, the integration team will ask them, "Do you wish to continue on and become a naturalized citizen of the Republic of the United States of America?" And have all benefits, including passports and ID cards and mortgages and all that stuff. If they say yes, they will be passed on to the education team and the Freedom Library for an education program. If they say no, then they just basically fall off a cliff. They're members of the Republic, but they never fill out any other forms unless they want to upgrade. Now, if they said yes, the integration team passes the information on to the education team. The education team then tells them how to access an automated Freedom Library where they go through a Freedom course, Freedom University. And this Freedom University would then give them the education through a curriculum, and then the person would then take a test to complete the process. And as that occurs, you would be issued a diploma, a graduation certificate of freedom. And this would have your thumbprint, all that stuff, you know, be a nice certificate for them showing that they completed the Freedom University and all that. Now, after that process has occurred, then they would fill out the application with the three signatures or whatever the new process is going to be coming out of the new ASR or whatever we're calling it now in Congress. And that's being determined by Viv Gwynn's committee, should be in Congress here shortly. When that is filled out, then they go before a judge, potentially, for a swearing in. And that's a formal ceremony. And then they're a full-fledged member of the Republic. There's some other stuff in the mind map that has to do with the public advisory board. We're actually starting up something similar to that right now. It's called the General Advisory Board on Integration and Standardization. It's a new ad hoc committee that we may be merging this process into. Don't know yet. And we haven't had our meeting. We're assembling people. And quickly, I'll go. That has a Treasury Banking Subcommittee, a Data Operations Management Subcommittee, and an IT Software Hardware Telecommunications Subcommittee. We're looking for people who have expertise in those areas. If you want to join that particular ad hoc committee, please contact me. And you can do so at m.gardner@republicoftheunitedstates.org. And with that, I'm open for any questions. That's basically the system. It's a recommended system, and we hope that you will consider it. And I thank you.
Well, thank you, Mark. We are going to take questions after we've been through all of our guests. So at this time, I see the president has joined us, and I would like to bring in the president to give us his updates on what's happening. So, Mr. President, welcome and good evening. Mr. President, you have the floor. If someone's on the call with the president, if you'd like to let him know that he's now live. All right. Well, we'll figure that out on the back line. And in the meantime, then, Bernie, if you would please come on the wings here of what Representative Gardner has laid out. And if you could take your Republic prototype, which those of you who have a computer and receive the PDF, you could pull up. And he's got a really cool schematic here that you can follow along with, and it'll really help you have a look at where they're going with this. So good evening, Senator. How do I pronounce your last name, Bernie?
Schock.
Schock. Okay, Bernie.
Yep.
Schock.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Robert, and good evening to everyone also. Mark Gardner and I have been working closely on this, so though we didn't coordinate for this evening, it pretty much it's going to fit right in. It also
Bernie, I'm wondering if I could get you to speak a little closer to your microphone, please.
Okay, how is this?
That's better. Thanks.
Okay. So let me just jump off from where Mark was talking about. And I'm concentrating more on the automation part of the whole process. And if you look at your first page, Republic Prototype Onboarding System, this is the first part of it, and then the second part on the second page. the first part is what Mark was talking about, the national website. And people have liked that idea, not to say that people can't join on the state website, but if we put things out in the media, it's easier to give one website address for people to join. So this census tracks the time from when somebody decides to join. And I didn't label it. The first two servers are really at the national level, the web server and SQL database. So the little notebook computer is a person who's signing up. Now, one of the requirements we all felt is that we have to have a lot of flexibility in the system because different states have different capabilities and different states are going to want things done differently, et cetera, et cetera. So the confusing arrows mean different things. So just as an overview, the red arrows means that national can process all your sign up and deliver something to the state. The green arrows means the states want to really handle it and national just pass it off to the state. And the blue arrow says not only the state wants to handle it, but a county wants to handle it. So there's different options there. So the main database has a list of all the states. So the first thing that comes up is, as Mark said, is basically select your state. We like to get a map in there and have to coordinate with Pat and stuff like that to get a clickable map. So the other option too is you could click a map on, click a state on the map. Then, given a state, it looks at that state and says, well, how does the state want to handle this sign up? Some states might want to handle it completely themselves, so it just does an immediate URL redirect to the state WW name into the appropriate page. Other states might say, okay, well, collect the information and then you can send it to us. So that would be the complete red state, the red arrows. If we do a redirect, that becomes the green arrows. And it might be that a county within the state may want to handle their own things too. So the state website could logically handle it over the county, and that's what the blue arrows are for.
We don't see, I just want to point out that we don't see colored arrows. Maybe others do. I'm just looking at my printed copy. I'm not seeing colored arrows.
Okay. That makes it hard to understand.
Let me just confirm that that's actually what folks are having to contend with. Well, now I can't pull it up.
Well, I could describe.
You can describe it? That would be good. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The red arrows are the ones that all emanate from the first web server on the left. And that's if national processes, the forms and everything, and then sends it off to the state.
So there's four red arrows, is that correct? Welcome to RUSA,
correct.
Welcome to Maryland,
right.
Welcome to Montgomery County, and welcome to Montgomery County again. Is that correct?
Right, correct.
Right. Very good. Got it?
Okay. The green arrows, and I should have added this. Actually, I didn't have to there. The green arrows are the arrows, the first two arrows from the left that point to the second web server under state IT servers.
Which goes to Welcome to Maryland and Welcome to Montgomery County.
Correct. And that's the case where the state wants to handle the sign up, so the main site will just transfer it over to the URL of the state sign up page, and away we go. Okay. And then the other case is if the county within the state wants to deal with it, then you add the blue arrows, which should be the last three arrows on the right. So one to the state IT server, and then two to the county IT servers.
Okay.
Okay. At the end of this process, I have the different things that can happen from the output. And this assumes that you do everything at national, or all the software, the pieces I'm doing is all open source and available to any state that wants it or whatever. But if it comes out to the national system and the state wants the national servers to deal with it right now, there's options. There'll be options to kind of customize the page and stuff like that so it kind of looks like your state and et cetera. But the output of this can go different ways. One would be as a web service to an MSR system, which I'll cover on the second page. And another option is, okay, well, I don't want to deal with the system. I just want emails of people signing up. Well, and then you can get emails to a particular email address or to a couple email addresses. Or lastly is this process by the state and county IT. That would be sent, well, the county or the state would decide to either process the email or process the web service. Just a little bit, dive down a little bit. A web service is kind of, it's like a web page, except it's designed for other servers to use. So, for example, the web service would be a sign-up web service, and basically it would be calling that sign-up service as, well, this guy with this email address with this information that he entered wants to sign up, and that's all the service does. So the national system would call your MSR system or whatever you do and take that information and follow on to the next step. And the next step is if you want to use the prototype MSR system here is, and we switch to the second page now. What I'm using as a basis for this is what's commonly called issue management system, case tracking, like that. Basically, such a system takes an issue or a case or whatever and allows a workflow to process that case. And right now, for the initial phase, it would only handle people who want to sign up. And by the way, one other criteria that I made was we can't wait for the full bang system, so it's going to be developed or created in iterative steps so that we will have something always. I'm not quite ready to show the first iteration, but let's say next week stuff coming in. But we'd have to take my prototype system, which does the minimal stuff, and go with that. So we're always ready to go. It just has more capabilities. So this diagram has less. Okay, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Oh, okay. So there's a little lightning bolt on the left side, and that would be the result of the web service from the other page, saying, here, we got somebody new to come in. And basically what that does is creates an issue or a case of the type that somebody wants to onboard in the system. All cases go through steps or flows to get resolved. And the final state would be that the issue is closed. In such a system, also, every time you do something with that case, an event occurs and all those events get recorded, so you have a history of what happened. So in the case of a sign-up, a case is created for signing up. You then have the MSR reps who are responsible for monitoring the cases, those kinds of cases. And what they do is they see a case come in. And by the way, you could set it up so that when a case comes in, it sends an email to them so they can bother and look at the system. Obviously, if it gets busier, you'll have cases all the time. He picks up the case, and maybe the first step is like Mark said, that you contact the person to make sure it's not Mickey Mouse. And then you set it to the next step. The next step might be the education phase. So then an MSR rep dealing with education would deal with it and go on to details. One of the requirements, too, for this system is that the workflows be designable by a non-programming person. And I'm using some work management workflow software to do that. I'm just trying to keep this real quick and easy here. But at the final stage, and I just show what we'd like to do, as Mark said, is at some point in time, if they want to join, we'd print out their official documents. We would like to print a barcode. Both Mark and I are not involved with the Immigration Committee, so we don't have all the details, but so we've kind of done this ourselves, kind of independent of So we're not really part of national. We're just kind of an ad hoc committee, as Mark said. So the whole idea of putting a barcode on it is you print it off, the person brings in, goes to the judge, swears the oath, et cetera, and then you scan it back into the system, and the scanner scans it in and sends it back to the case management system, which finds the barcode on the scan and matches it back to the thing and closes up the case. Now, what you're not seeing here is that this case management system can be expanded to deal with and solve a lot of our problems that we're having in the Republic. And one of the main problems we're having is communication difficulties, where people want to join, they send emails, nothing happens, or even people who are in members send emails and things get dropped down the bit bucket. The whole idea then is you manage all that email, those things as cases or issues. So you'd have different types of cases that could be dealt with and questions and being able to transfer the cases to the appropriate person. So, for example, as a senator, I might be on the system, but as a category of a senator, if somebody calls up in for a constituent type question or whatever, and it maybe applies to what I'm doing. So the MSR rep could just transfer that case over to me. I check it on the system and see that I've got these cases of constituents wanting to know what's happening or et cetera, et cetera. Now we can take this step, the system another step further. If the different states agree to use such a system, then we create standardization. I might be an MSR rep and somebody calls up and it's really an issue for the general or national government to deal with. Well, different departments at national use a system like this. We can establish links between the different case management systems. So the MSR at the state level could transfer directly to the appropriate place at the federal level. And you can set it up so the case is either completely transferred, in which case you no longer have responsibility, or you set it up where it's transferred, but you still have a record of it on the state system or county system or city or whatever you want to call it. And the reason for that is to basically provide alerts and raise the alarm if a case is just sitting there and nobody's responding to it. And I think I've covered a lot.
Well, I'd just like to underscore what you said. I did try to talk with the Immigration Education Committee this week to see whether they were ready to launch and release what they're working on in committee, and they're not quite ready. So I think your model will work well whatever their findings are and whatever that structure is. You seem very able to be able to move this around and make that fit. So would you agree?
Yes, and that was the idea too. It's every state's going to want to do things differently. So this gives the flexibility for the states to adjust their flows and create their own flows and do whatever they want. So I'm trying to create a very flexible tool. This is starting from an open source piece of software, but I'm taking it and extending it to suit more of a government republic type situation.
Okay. I'll have you go into more detail about the open source and how this can be utilized and on a from a county level to a state level, et cetera. But I want to give all of our guests an opportunity to weigh in first. And so are you available to stay on for questions and answers after?
Yes.
Very good. Well, thank you, Senator Schock. I still don't. We had the president on the call, and I see that he's fallen off. So I would like to move on then to our third guest in this topic of growing our numbers, and that is to Mark Hafner. Mark put together a personal 2x2 program where you go out and you give an elevator speech and you qualify folks in a very short period of time. Then if they're interested, you give them a longer presentation, and then if they like what they hear, then you can give them a full-blown education. He's got just a really good sales program, if you like. I'm not sure that's the right way to do it, but he knows how to network. So I've invited Mark on to share with us how that's progressing and just to offer some basics for all of us in terms of how to grow your respective counties and your respective assemblies. So good evening, Mark.
Good evening. How are you, sir?
I'm blessed and highly favored. How about yourself?
Just the same.
Very good. So how are things developing with the idea that you brought forth? It must be, what, 4 or 5 months ago now? Is it longer than that?
I'm not really sure. I've been so busy here of late, I've lost track of time. I have had some good reports back. I know that it has helped to increase the growth in Missouri a little bit.
Let's talk about it in general terms, because I know it wasn't open to everyone, and I'm inviting you to give those who aren't familiar with it an idea of what your ideas are and how you've seen this be effective.
Okay. One of the premises of this technique that I think has been effective is that a lot of times we don't know how to strike up a conversation that will get us into the type of a dialogue that will rule in or rule out in a way that we won't feel intimidated if they're not interested. It's kind of like everybody's afraid to ask somebody out on a date. And if we don't ever get past that stigma of how to approach the subject, we're not going to go out on a date. Well, those of us that are married aren't looking for dates, but once upon a time we were, perhaps. And so the 60-second presentation has some structure to it, even though it doesn't sound like it does. And what I mean by that is I'm not looking to bring people into the Republic that are violent. They're so angry at the government that they're considering doing something stupid. I'm not interested in bringing people into the Republic just because they want financial remedy. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with financial remedy, but I don't want that to be their main motive for coming in. To me, the main motive for coming in is that they want to see the Constitution really become the law of the land. So here's my 60-second presentation. And if I was talking to a friend that I hadn't talked to for a while, or I was talking to a neighbor, or if I had partnered up with somebody else and had intentionally gone to a different neighborhood or maybe in a close-by town, with the intent of asking this question 100 times. So here's kind of the challenge. I challenge anybody to ask this question, it's a 60-second presentation, 100 times, and that you will be engaged with meaningful conversations with people that are going to be passionately interested in what we're doing and wanting to know more. So here goes it. I work with an organization that for the last several years has been working to make the Constitution really be the law of the land. We all see that the Constitution is ignored, and we all sense that the government is involved too much in our lives, but we don't understand why and what's caused it. The group that I'm involved with has been working for the last couple of years to really make the Constitution the law of the land, and to help that get recognized internationally, that the Constitution should be the law of the land. Who do you know of that I should talk to who would like to see this happen, and that they're peaceful and nonviolent, and that they would be passionate about the Constitution becoming the law of the land again? Is there anyone you think that I should talk to or that I could meet? Well, I don't think that took 60 seconds. I'm not sure if it did.
Sorry, I didn't time you.
Well, that's okay. I've timed it enough times that I know it usually comes in sometimes when I say it 30 seconds, sometimes 45. Sometimes if I elaborate a little bit, you know, and if I'm talking to a married couple with two kids in the stroller, I might talk about, I might add a sentence or two that talks about how we want to preserve the freedoms of the Constitution for our children and our grandchildren. If I'm talking to someone who's obviously a veteran of of the military. I might throw in another phrase that, you know, I know that you've sacrificed much to be in the armed forces, and you took an oath to the Constitution. I'm wondering if you're concerned with some of the things that you see happening in this country. Our group is working to correct those things. Would you be interested in hearing about what we're doing? So it's not that it's just the same presentation every time. You kind of tailor it to who you're talking to and where you're at. I would wager that if anybody would ask that question 100 times, that you're going to find some people say, well, yeah, I'd be very interested in hearing how that could happen. My father, you know, talks about that all the time. And then you would respond back by saying, what does your father think is going wrong? He says, well, he's upset about this, he's upset about that. We're great. How can I talk to your father? How can I meet your father? Do you have his number with you? Could you give him a call, and could you introduce me to him over the phone? Maybe me and him could get together for a cup of coffee. And we find some guy who's passionate about the things that are going wrong. And then we would do a 20-minute presentation or a 50-minute presentation, which basically describes what happened in March, April of 2010 with the letter to the governors, and then how, because they didn't honor that, how we came together and the whole process, which takes about really only 15 or 20 minutes to describe. And at that point, they either look at you and go, wow, that sounds too extreme to me, or, oh, that's scary. Or they go, wow, I didn't know that. I'd like to hear more. And then we've created four videos that are 45 minutes long that really take them on an educational journey in videos 1 through 4 that teach them the core truths about the takeover of the government, the takeover of the money system, the takeover of education, the takeover of media, and how we've had many false flag operations to get us into wars and to keep us in debt, just to suck the money out of this country and to make the bankers rich, and also describe the difference between a Republican form of government versus a democracy, and lay that out in a very simple way. And if people listen to one or two of these videos, they're usually going to sign up. So this is kind of the approach, and it's the same approach that network marketing companies use very successfully. It's the same approach that church planters and missionaries use. I would maintain it's the same approach that Christ used in the scriptures, where he sent them out 2 by 2. He sent the 70 out. And they went out knowing what to say because they'd spent time with the Lord, and they went out. And I would say that because of their work and the work of the 12 disciples with the Lord, that then, you know, after his death, burial, and resurrection, we see 5,000 people coming to Christ because this is the fruit coming in from all these one-on-one conversations. And I'm not trying to promote the biblical model of church planting here. What I'm saying is that businesses, network marketing principles are based on very similar principles. Anybody can learn a 60-second presentation. There may be people on the call tonight that are not members of the Republic, and maybe you're listening to this call for the first time. I'd like to make an appeal to those folks. I guarantee you that this country has been off track and away from the Constitution for a long time, well over 100 years. And systematically and over a long period of time, the freedoms of the Constitution have been eroded away and taken away from one act after another. And now we see the economic results and the social results and the spiritual results and the political results of this over 100 years of things being slowly taken away. We are peacefully re-inhabiting the Republic. We are peacefully reinstituting the Constitution as the law of this land. The alternatives are not good, and things are only getting worse. Please pursue the restored republic. Get your questions answered and join us, please. And I'll yield.
Thank you, Mark. If people want to follow up with you and your model, are you making it available to anyone else?
They could contact you at whatever email that you give out
questions,
on this call.
Questions@therepublic.com.
Okay, questions up. Okay, go ahead and give the whole email address if you would.
Questions@republicoftheunitedstates.org.
Okay. And if they're specifically interested in an 8-page manual, and I'm telling you, this sucker is really complicated. 8 pages. I mean, it's going to wear you out for 8 pages.
Come on now. Come on.
Well, that's my point, okay? This isn't a 300-page thesis on how to bring people to the Republic. This is really almost brain dead. If you believe that the Republic needs to grow, here's what I believe, Robert. Several years ago, the Creator rose up people to be at the first wave of leadership of this movement that he's involved with. I believe right now he has prepped the hearts of many, many more people that he's going to raise up to be a second wave of leadership at the county and the city levels. We need to get busy asking the Creator to lead us to the people that he has picked to become the next wave of leadership as we begin to flesh out the state governments and flesh out the county governments and eventually the city and the townships. Ask the Lord to include you in bringing the new leadership in that he's already prepared. This training will teach you how to do that. If they contact you and they want the training, you can refer those to me and I will send them a link to where the training resides so that they can download the horrendously complicated 8-page manual on this method, a 2-hour audio explaining exactly how to use it, audios of the 4 videos so that you can make CDs and people can listen to them when they drive, and download the 4 videos so that you can educate yourself so that when you start asking the 60-second question, whatever questions they would ask, you'll have intelligent answers for. And you then can use those videos to actually do the recruiting for you. So if they're interested, they send you a request. You can forward those to me, and then I can send them the link.
Very good, Mark. Are you available to stay on the call for questions after we've been through our presenters?
Sure.
All right. Well, thank you so much. We're going to move on now to the president has joined us again. We're confirmed he's online. So, Mr. President, good evening, and welcome to the roundtable.
Hello, Robert. It's good to be with you tonight.
Glad to have you on board, sir.
Thank you. Thank you. We appreciate everybody that's on the call. We thank Pat for her help tonight as well. We thank you for all that you do, Robert. We appreciate the hard work that you do and the information that you bring out and help us organize. It's very important that we get this out to the people, and we thank you for all your help doing that.
Glory to God.
To talk a little bit about some things, we are very, very busy this week in meetings with many of the Republican officials around the country. We're doing some very important legislative documents this week and plan to do some very exciting things in the next just days, and I think that you'll enjoy. We have a number of things we're working on, and the Republic is about to take a leap light years ahead of where it's at now in just a matter of probably just a few weeks. I'm really excited. We're starting to get a lot of interest in the Republic from all over the country, different groups now Even some of the Tea Party groups are starting to get interested in the Republic. Some of them already started joining. We have other groups. I just got notice today that the many of the Dinar groups around the country are starting to get interested in the Republic, and I certainly would like to welcome them to be part of us, because we can certainly help them in a lot of ways, help them protect their Dinar, I believe. Many of the things that we're working on legislation have to do with setting up banks and the treasuries in the states, which will be protected in such a way that people will be able to come in with their Dinar and not be molested by the federal agencies when we complete this process, and we're well underway. Things are coming together very, very well, and I'm very thankful for the people. We have some brilliant people in this republic. God has chosen to put some people that are very, very intelligent among our midst, and thank God, because they offset my inabilities, and I'm thankful for that. So all together, we'll make a pretty good team, and we're coming together with some great things for the people in the country. They're just going to absolutely amaze you when you get to see them coming up in probably 2 to 3 weeks. We should have everything out openly in public, and we're going to release our Utah document very soon to everybody for them to read. We've finally reached the place where we can move forward. It's been a long, long fight. A lot of problems we had to overcome, a lot of obstacles that we had to overcome, but we're at that point now. We're ready. We have a quorum of states, and we're ready to do some very exciting things. A couple of things I want to bring up is we are looking for some people to head up some committees that we have. We have an economic development council and a social development council that we're putting together in conjunction with Congress. And I asked Congress to branch out into the republic and start pulling in the people out here. There are many of you out there listening tonight are very talented people, and we want to put you to work. We want you to help us develop things. Now, the Economic Development Council, primary function of that is to identify areas that are economically depressed and do a study on those areas and to find out what we need to revitalize those areas, because that's something we're going to start working on very, very soon. We want to create jobs, new industry, revitalize old industry. And we need to start looking at these areas and determine what we need to do to make that happen. As funding becomes available, which is about to happen, and we will move forward to help build those areas. And I'm very excited about what's going on. We have so much moving that we can hardly keep up with it now. And coming from all over the world now, people are stepping up supporting the Republic, and it's getting really exciting now. But that Economic Development Council will help us put people back to work. It'll help us revitalize these industries that have been suppressed by a number of reasons, primarily because of NAFTA and GATT treaties have pretty much suppressed the need for the industries. Also, along with the environmental protection policies that we have, these industries have been brought down by their own government in most cases, so we can reverse a lot of that and get these people back to work and these industries back producing things. Key to our economy is to create jobs and create things to sell and put in the economy. That's how you build an economy. You don't do it with service-based industries. I protested against that 20-plus years ago when the state of Florida started moving to service-based industries. I told them, I said, you will destroy your economy if you go down this path. And they thought I was crazy because the powers that be supported it, so they must know more than us. But I told them it was going to lead to their ruin, and it has. You know, they've done just exactly what I told them about 20 years ago they were going to do. And so they don't understand that you have to build things to sell in the economy to create good jobs. That's the way you do it. Anyway, that Social Development Council will help identify those areas that we can revitalize. It'll identify the unemployment centers that we can help put people back to work. It'll identify the resources that we need. And it's going to be a busy job, and it's going to be an interesting job, and it's going to be something that's going to really help build and kickstart the economy. And the data that they gather and the report that they do is going to help Congress know how to legislate to get this thing kickstarted and get it rolling. The plans that we're going over right now, I'm just amazed at the potential that this republic truly has. to build an economy. It's going to grow so fast that our big problem is going to keep it under control, and that we're going to have to control the growth of the economy because it's going to explode all at one time. The other council is a social development council that we're interested in building, and the social development council is primarily at taking a look at what happened in America. When we started moving away from our morality, we started having other problems. Our society started to fail. Very important for us to give role models to our children that are coming up that are honorable, they have integrity, they're decent people. Why is it in America that we have gangsters as role models? Why is it in America that we have sports personalities that are role models that do every ungodly thing in the world? They're not good people as a rule, and they go out here and flaunt their ungodliness, and our children look at them as role models, and that's a sick society when we do that. We need to change that. We need to go back and put real men in these places as role models. We need to put real people of honor and integrity and let the children know it's okay to be a good person. You don't, just because you don't have millions of dollars to drive a fast car doesn't mean you're not don't have worth. These are the false things that have been spread across our nation. The people watch the soap operas, they watch the sports, they watch all these things, and everybody on TV and in Hollywood has all the fast cars and nice homes and lots of money and nicest clothes, and they have plenty of time to enjoy all of it. Well, folks, in the real world, it's not really like that. And we need to bring our children and our grandchildren back to reality. And it's our job to do that. It's not going to happen by Hollywood. It's not going to happen by Washington. It's the people of the nation that need to come together and do this. We need to set a pattern for them to follow. We need to set goals for them to reach. We need to start through education, and we need to work very hard to bring our society back to honor and integrity once again, because the people of our nation are not going to prosper unless we learn to honor those godly principles that made this country what it is. If we don't turn back to God and start doing the things that God said do, then we will not be prospered as a nation. God will not have anything to do with us. He will cast us off like an old dirty cloth. But if we'll embrace these things that made us a great nation, one of the superpowers on the earth, God will bless this nation once again. America's in trouble, folks. We are in real trouble, in desperate trouble. We're on the verge of becoming a third world nation if we don't do something. And we have. We've stood up. We've re-inhabited the republic. We have a quorum of states. We have a government in place, and we're moving forward with that government. And it is the answer, and it is the only answer to America. You can put all the new politicians in Washington that you want to. That ship is going to sink no matter what you do. And we need to move forward with this republic. We need to get people in the republic. We need to recruit. People are becoming more and more interested in the republic, because they're realizing that we are for real. We're not going away. We didn't fail. We're growing every day, and we're more organized, and we have more talented people than we've ever had. And we're about to move forward in a big way. And we want you to be part of that. We want you to get on board and help us. If you're interested in being involved as a chairperson or either a member of the Economic Development or the Social Development Councils, you can contact Janine at rrb.admin@republicoftheunitedstates.org. That's rrb.admin@republicoftheunitedstates.org. And if you'll send her an email and let us know you're interested in either the Economic Development Council or Social Development Council, we need the American people to stand up with us and help us guide this republic in the right path. And these two councils are very important. The studies that they do will help us make decisions, help Congress make decisions to show us what they need to do and what we need to do as a nation to establish what God wants us to be in this country. The last thing I'd like to talk about is I've been in prayer about this for some time, and I feel very strongly that we need to call a fast for our nation. Starting Sunday morning, I'll be entering into at least a three-day fast. I don't know how long it will go, but it will be at least 3 days. And I want to invite those of you that can to join me in fasting and praying for our nation. Now, there's a couple of specific things I want you to pray for. I want you to ask. There's a couple of things I want you to do. I want you to proclaim, not ask, but I want you to proclaim that this republic is to be seated. I want you to make a proclamation when you pray that for God to seat this republic. That's what he said to do. Proclaim it. Proclaim it. Don't ask for it. Proclaim it, because it's already done. He said it's already done in the heavens. All we have to do is proclaim it on earth. This is his will, and that's what we're about to do. Another thing I want you to do, I want you to pray that God will let us find favor with all the nations. And we are finding favor, but we need specific favor with specific nations. I can't name them on the call because I don't want to compromise anything. But we have specific individuals and specific nations that we are calling upon to do certain things for us, and we need to make sure that we find favor in their sight. God can do that, and I want you to proclaim that God is going to give us favor wherever we go to seek favor and seek help among the nations. I want you to pray that God will do that. The third thing I want you to pray is that we will seek favor with those in Washington, among the agencies that believe in America and want to see America brought back to what it should be. Because I can tell you the majority of people that work in the Beltway probably do really want to help America. There are only a few bad apples. Unfortunately, most of those bad apples are at the top. But we want to pray that God will give us favor with those people inside of the government in high places, that they will come forward and help us. We also want to pray that God will break the powers of the evil forces that are trying to work against us. Those are the four things I want you to pray. I want you to proclaim it, not just pray it. I want you to proclaim that God will do this. And I want you to do it as a nation. Now, all of you that can fast for 3 days, that's great. If you can't, fast what you can. I'm going to ask you to do what you can do. If you can do more than 3 days, God bless you. Pray and fast and proclaim these things that God will bring it, and God will bring it to pass. I can tell you he will bring it to pass, because what I'm doing is telling you what God is telling me that we need to do. And we need to do this as a nation. Sometime in the future, I don't know just when, we're going to have a day of dedication. We're going to dedicate our nation. And we're going to do it exactly in the same place it was done by the founding fathers. When we get the opportunity to do that, we're going to go and we're going to invite people from all over the nation to converge on this place. And that place happens to be the side of the Twin Towers. It's where the original dedication for our nation was done by our founding fathers. And we will return to that site at some time in the future as a nation from all over this country, and we will offer a prayer of dedication to this nation once again. That's one of the things that we need to do. There are several things that we'll be doing in the future. It might sound odd to you, but I'm telling you, God will move mightily when we do these things. And I want you to pray and proclaim and help me in this fast and this prayer if you can. I thank you for your time tonight. I will be on the side, standing by here on the side, waiting on questions if you have any. And I pray that you'll help us and cooperate with us in this prayer, because God is about to do mighty things in this republic if we'll only be obedient. And with that, Robert, I'll yield. God bless everyone on the call.
Thank you, Mr. President. I wonder whether I could get you to embellish just a little bit more for our next guest, who is going to talk to those on the call about preparedness. You had spoken last week about the need for being prepared for a bump in the road, whether it's a couple of days, a couple of weeks. Could you give that a little bit more texture here as we bring on Robert McCoy, who's got a lot of experience in personal preparedness, family preparedness?
That's great, and I thank Robert for coming on the call and sharing some things with our people. Basically, what I've been told is they're going to be mass arrests. I didn't get this off of the Terry Hinkle side. I got this long before that ever came out. that there was mass arrests being planned, and I got these from very powerful people in the world. In Washington, we're hearing that there may be many arrests. And that's if that happens, and I can't tell you that it will happen. I'm telling you, I've been told it will happen. If that happens, there could be a time of unrest in America. We hope that it doesn't, but, you know, we don't want our people to be not prepared in the event that that happens. So I recommend that people, during this time, they do a couple of things. They prepare first, have food and water for your family for 2 or 3 weeks, just in case we have a supply chain interruption. We may not have any, but there again, we can't be sure of that. And the time to go provide for your family is not after there's a disaster, but before a disaster. Now, I'm not saying we're going to have a disaster. What I'm saying is the potential is that you might not be able to go to the grocery store and get what you want every day, like most Americans do today. We just go down there on a daily basis a lot of times to get what we want as we need it, because it's always there and always has been there. Well, you may wake up one morning, it might not be there. So you might better make some preparations for that. And I'm not saying that the world's coming to an end or it's going to be a terrible thing. If they do make mass arrests, we could see some unrest. And it's best for you to stay home, take care of your family, and stay out of the streets and stay out of the people's business that are getting into trouble. You don't want to get out and involved in that. You want to stay home. I'm asking the people of the Republic to be peaceful, to not get out and protest. Don't get out there and try to occupy, be part of this Occupy movement, because if we start unrest and that the group that's doing this Occupy stuff, they're going to get beat up pretty bad, and many of them might even get killed. It's going to get nasty if that happens. And I'm hoping and praying it doesn't happen, but the possibility is there. And we don't want you to panic. We don't want you to get overly concerned about this. But we do want you to be basically prepared in the event there's a short period of disruption in our society. It could happen. We don't know what's going to happen. But if everybody in Washington gets arrested, like I'm hearing they're pretty much going to do, you know, we could have some issues that we got to deal with. So anyway, just be prepared, be cautious, but don't go crazy with this, and don't panic, and just get prepared for some basic things in the event that we do have this. And if you don't, eat your beans later. I mean, you're not going to waste. You can eat them some other time or give them to a needy family. But the bottom line is you should have some basic preparations, in my opinion. I think it's wise to do that. But don't go crazy with it, and don't get all panicky and go out there doing stupid things. But anyway, that's my take on it. I think that we should take some basic precautions just in the event that we have some issues. And we may have clear sailing with no problems whatsoever. But there again, you don't want to wake up one morning and can't go to the grocery store and not be able to put gas in your car and things like that. You need to have supplies at home in the event that you have an issue like that for a period of time. If that happens, watch TV. The news is going to tell you what's going on. Actually, it might be real news for a change, and we might actually get the real story. We're hoping that's what's going to happen. So pay attention to the news media. They'll keep you posted on what's really going on at that time. You can just about count on the news to be telling you the truth at that point, because the Washington machine that has been manipulating the news for all these years won't be there to do it anymore, so the news media will probably be telling you right as much as they can. So we hope that at least they will, and we're not expecting a terrible problem, but just be aware that if that does happen, well, like I've been told it's going to happen, then we could face a little hiccup, and so just be prepared for it. That's all I'm asking people to do. Stay indoors and stay out of trouble. Because we want the people of the Republic to go through this just fine, without any problems, certainly without any casualties. If you get out in the streets, you're going to get into trouble. So stay home. Don't need anything, and you won't have to go out there. So have what you need at home, and then you'll sail through it just fine. So with that, I'll yield the floor, Robert, and appreciate the opportunity to comment to the people.
Thank you, Mr. President. Well, on
Robert,
that, yes.
This is Pat. I'd like to repeat Janine's email address.
Oh, why don't you do that? Go ahead.
Okay, it's RRB period admin, which is admin@republicoftheunitedstates.org.
Very good.
Thank you.
All right. So on that note, before I bring on Robert, I want to let you know that I have asked Chuckers to upload the file that Robert is going to talk about here this evening if you wanted to download it. If you go to republicsg.info, go to latest updates, and he's uploaded it there. It's the very latest update. So if you want to follow along with what Robert's got here for his presentation, Robert comes from Arizona here. He's seasoned in preparedness and survival training, and he's going to share some knowledge with us on and his expertise on how to take care of exactly, as the president's talking about, some basic preparedness. So good evening, Robert.
How are you?
Very well. I finally found you. I saw you had a Wyoming number, so it tricked me for a while.
Yep, I'm here.
Okay. Well, share with us, if you will, what you've laid out, and the floor is yours.
All righty. Well, I'm glad that that the president was very adamant about don't panic. That's the worst possible thing that anybody can ever do. So I just wanted to say that the last thing in the world you want to do is let somebody else's emergency become yours. Going on what I was saying there, just some basic things. If there's going to be just a small hiccup in the road, you know, things like that, you don't got to go out. You don't got to buy 5 years of a supply of food and that kind of thing, although it's not a bad idea to have. But it's if you are simply trying to get over a small bump in the road, if you, as the president had said, we're expecting maybe a possibility up to a couple of months, get that if you don't have it already. But the most important thing is buy things you already use. If you are going to go run out and go to eFoods Direct or, you know, one of these other websites that have all these prepackaged foods, that's all fine, well, and good. But if you rush out and you buy one of these big boxes that's got all kinds of what have you in it, you might be looking around going, oh, I hate beef stroganoff, or I hate bean sprouts, or whatever happens to be in there. But you're real hungry, and you're looking at that, and you're going, man, I don't want to eat that. Buy things that you normally buy. If you're on a budget, I'm not a wealthy man by any means. Everything that I've got, I do small increments every week. If I got budgeted $50 a week for groceries, spend $60, spend $70. You don't have to go crazy with anything, or break the bank, wipe out your savings or anything like that. Just buy small stuff. Keep track of it. That's a very important thing. Keep track of the expiration dates. As it gets close to an expiration date, rotate that out. If it's something you're already used to eating, it's not going to interrupt anything in your household. As far as water storage goes, a couple of real easy things to think about, especially in a short term. If go out, get yourself some of those big, gigantic 5 or 7 gallon empty bottles of, you know, that they use for the water machines. Just fill them up with water. Buy a Brita or something like that. Something cheap. You're not going to need to store that water for decades and eons. So you don't need to go hog wild and go out and spend a lot of money. All these websites and people and places out there that are pushing all this stuff, their primary goal is to separate you from your money, and they don't care how they do it. It doesn't need to get expensive to get the stuff you need. And for any of you out there that take prescription medicine of any kind, if there is going to be some hiccups in the road, if you can, order extra. Or, you know, somehow, you know, try and either get extra if you can, or maybe take a little bit less than what you might normally take, if that's possible by what the parameters of that is. Because if you can't go to the store, you're not going to get none of it. So if you are on prescription medicine, that's, you know, something that you got to take on a regular basis, that would be my first stop, is to try to figure that one out. You know, some medications you're allowed to order more than, you know, just one bottle at a time or whatever, but that varies with different medications, and it varies doctor to doctor, so that's something that you're going to have to look into, but that would be my first stop if you're taking anything like that. And on those lines of thinking, another stop would be, if you have air conditioners, buy extra filters. Because if you can't go to the store and you have a problem with, excuse me, allergens or anything like that, and you can't go to the store, one of the big things of getting allergies going, especially if you use air conditioning, is not having that filter clean. So I'd go buy some extra filters. You know, you might want to store up on, you know, maybe some extra Band-Aids. If you are somebody that has hay fever issues, allergy issues, if you're asthmatic, get some extra stuff for that. Ladies, store up on feminine issue needs. That's all I'm going to have to say about that. But just basic things. If it's possible and things do get really weird, if you can, try to find some folks, if you, especially in the inner city, try to find some folks maybe that you could stay with that's closer to the edge of town or something like that, because 90% of the problems are going to be in the middle of the town, because that's the hardest place to get anything to when something goes south. I'm going to give you a very extreme example of some things with Katrina. We saw things go south real fast there. And although it was a local incident, my brother lives in New Orleans, and he lived through that. And it only took 24 hours without the presence of any supplies or anything like that coming in. It took 24 hours to things to break down completely. Within 48 hours, it was complete chaos. My brother did just exactly what I'm recommending, if you can, to get together with some other folks. They had no problems. There was no looters banging down their door. There was nothing like that, because they had round-the-clock watches. And there was enough folks there together that they were able to, you know, watch all the avenues. They had motion detector lights, that kind of thing. So anybody that walked by, they had them pointed out at the road. They had them set for the highest sensitivity. You know, so they didn't have issues, because any of the looters, any of the people with ill intentions said, we're going to go somewhere easier, because that's what they do. It's just like a predatory creature finding a herd of animals. You look for the weak ones and the ones that can't defend themselves. Those are the ones you prey on. So if you look helpless, then you're probably going to have some issues. If you don't appear helpless, you're probably not going to have any issues. But that's just an extreme example. Um, other than that, you had asked me to keep things kind of short. So that's basically what I had thought about to say. So
I think a couple of other areas I'd like you to touch lightly on is personal defense and first aid.
Okay, first aid. In the event that things do kind of happen to go south a bit, a couple of things, if you don't know how to do CPR, that's going to be a good thing to do, is go find somewhere, take a class if you can, if you know people that are certified in CPR, because things have just changed really radically in the last couple of years. They actually do not sanction aspiration much anymore. It's all about keeping the blood flow moving through pumping the heart. So if you've previously been certified, but it's been a long time, or if you haven't ever been, that might be a good thing to do. Treating for shock, learning how to do that. If things do get really weird, once you see something, you can't unsee it. And for those of us with weak constitutions, shock could be an issue. If the power goes out, you know, if which is very possible and probable in, you know, localized events, dehydration. One of the things that we are taught in the construction field all the time is if you feel thirsty, you're already starting to feel the effects of dehydration. It's already begun. Just the effect of, wow, I'm thirsty, I need something to drink. That simple little thing right there, you're already on your way. And if, you know, you're in a, you know, summertime, that kind of thing, it can sneak up on you. I've gone down from the heat once when I was a young man, and it's not fun. And it does exactly what they say. It sneaks up on you. You think, okay, well, I'm hot and all right, but that's whatever. I can keep going. And then all at once, you're on the ground. It hits you pretty much like a ton of bricks. So don't let it get that far. Self-defense in a situation like that, like I said, if you can get together, there is strength and security in numbers. If you already have a large family or, you know, things of that nature, that's fine. In a short-term situation like that, if you have the expensive hollow point ammunition, things of this nature, break that out first, because you are, you know, none of us are the types of people that are out looking for a fight. And so chances are, if it comes to the situation to where you are required to respond with deadly force, you're going to be agitated. It's not going to be, you know, high up on your list of things to get done. So, but in that scenario, you're not likely to see, you know, 20 or 30 people coming at you. It's probably just going to be one or two. So if you waste a few rounds, you know, you're not going to be out all that much. So in that scenario, break out the good ammunition first. Because you want the engagements short if you have to do it. You know, stand watch. If, like I said before, if you appear to be helpless, then you're probably going to have issues. If you appear to be ready, you're probably not going to have that many issues, because those people with bad intentions are going to go someplace else.
Okay. You know, touching on that subject, there's a whole lot more to be said, I know. But at least you've given us...
To hit the high points.
I appreciate that. Would you stay on the call for questions and answers?
Yes, sir.
Very good. Well, I'd like to thank all of you for making your contributions. The call's gone on quite long. We've actually gone into our 90-minute mark already, and we haven't even turned it over to Q&A. So I'm going to ask Pat to go ahead and turn it on to Q&A and then make an announcement here with regards. We'll go ahead and make. Go ahead, Pat. Did I lose you? Okay, well, the president is going to sign off at this time. He's not going to be available for questions tonight, but we have so many other issues to cover here. We'll take it up after the fast next week. So, Pat, I think I've lost you. So,
I'm here.
Okay, very good. So we're ready for our first caller out of Vermont. Good evening.
Hello, everybody. Glad to see you and glad to hear from you.
What's your name, sir?
What's your name? My name is Edward Gauthier, representative of Vermont.
Say that to me again, sir.
Edward Gauthier.
Hi, Edward.
Representative of Vermont. How are you doing, sir?
Good.
I've got a question. I'm thinking about moving out of this apartment because there's too much bad activity going around in this area lately. I may have to go into towards the woods for a little while. What would be a suggestion would it be safer in the woods or would it be safer in a campground or what? I yield the floor on that.
All right, Robert.
In that situation, if you could get kind of by yourself, not by yourself, but out, the farther away you can get, the better off you're going to be. Because if you've only got, let's say, 20 people per square mile versus 20,000 people per square mile, you know, the chances of something bad happening have just dropped off dramatically.
I thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
Very good. Our call is open up to questions on any of the topics that we've talked about this evening. Our next caller is Fran Porter out of area code 423. Good evening. You are unmuted.
Hi. My name is Francine Porter of Chattanooga, Tennessee. And I just wanted to ask, I heard the House Speaker Lounsbery mentioning that, you know, we were looking at possibly into June before maybe Congress would convene. And, you know, like, we're not people who have a lot of funds.
Shut up.
And so... it's difficult for us to find some way to remove ourselves from where we're located. I mean, we're not downtown by any means, but we are not in a position where we could get out of the area we're in right now. And obviously funding would be very helpful, but we were just kind of wondering how all that's going to play out and how soon are we looking at. I know that they've been looking at the Treasury bill and things like that, and I was just kind of wondering where's the point of possible relief, and is the issue of this going into June going to come to an issue where President Turner was mentioning that, you know, possibly like June or July is when the de facto is going to collapse, and if that all kind of happens together, that's not going to give anybody or some of us much time at all, if any, to prepare anything. And I yield.
Fran, I am going to mute you while the answers come because you've got a lot of feedback on your line. So firstly, I'd just like to say that recognize that what we're putting in place here in offering through preparedness awareness is simply that, to be aware. We have no idea, none at all, what's likely to unfold. That would be my opening remark. And my second one is, you know, we have been expecting funding now for a long time, and we have watched ourselves develop and get strong. And now we have a quorum of states, and now we're exercising our muscle at a state level to organize how we actually run government. So the idea of urgency versus just continuing to press forward and be aware in a more 360 degree awareness is just what I would just like to sound. That tone is one of, you know, we can only do what we can do, and we can only do it as fast as we can. And you know, finances have been a challenge now for most of us since about 2008. So we're coming down to the wire here, and it's very exciting. But I'm going to start with you, Robert. Would you like to make a comment?
Well, you know, it's not necessarily, just like the president said, you don't necessarily have to, like, head for the hills or anything. Staying in your home is fine if you're in an area where, you know, if, like me, I live right dead smack in the center of the fifth largest city in the country, okay? I'm not in the greatest place in case we do have civil unrest. But if you are towards the outskirts of town, the more rural you get, the less likely things are to happen in a bad way. But so to answer that a little bit, but also too, is, you know, with the funding issue, everything that I do and everything that I try to tell people and teach people is things don't have to be expensive. You can, the more self-sufficient we learn to be, the easier it is to be self-sufficient. And unfortunately, I don't have days and weeks to pour out everything that's inside of my head right now, but just basic things in your home, staying in your home on the short term is fine. I was just trying to allude to some of those folks that are in the middle of a town, because that's generally where things go south first and worst.
I'm going to unmute you, Fran. Also, if there's any of our other panelists who want to weigh in on this, feel free to do so. And I see Roger Evans, you're also in on the host code. If you want to chime in, sir, you are more than welcome to do so. And I'm
This is Mark. This is Mark Hafner.
Go ahead, Mark.
And I have rural land, and I also have a house in a county close to a large city. And I guess my advice to people that are kind of strapped is that canned goods and a non-electric can opener, some candles, some bottled water, canned meats, canned fruits, canned vegetables. All you got to do is open the can and enjoy yourself. You know, if you have enough food for 3 or 4 weeks and basic canned goods, and you don't need electric, and if you've got a sleeping bag to stay warm if it's cold at night, and you've got water to drink, you don't have to go outside. You've got food, clothing, and shelter out of the weather. You'll be fine. I yield.
Yeah, this is Mark Gardner. I'd like to jump in there if I could.
Sure, go ahead.
Yeah, I don't think that this global switchover is going to I think it's better planned than people know, and I really don't think we're going to have to panic and worry that our lives are going to, you know, be threatened here. I think that they probably will shut down things for 3 days or so. They'll let everybody know what's going on before they, or as they're doing it, you know, watch your TV set. And, you know, there's going to be provisions of some kind here. I don't think they're going to turn us into cavemen. overnight because of a global collapse. I just can't believe that that is where we're headed, you know, and I yield.
Thank you, Fran. I'm going to unmute you. Was that helpful for you?
Yes and no. I mean, we had the blessing to have had two tornadoes in 10 months, so we've gotten lots of practice on going without.
What state are you in?
We're in Tennessee. We were in the Davis Mill Road area that got hit with two tornadoes, one last year and then one this spring, March 2nd. So we had an F3 this year, so it was a little more exciting.
Ish.
So, you know, we're not completely ill practiced. I guess I'm just kind of, you know, wishing that we had a little more funding to do some of the things we'd like. We have tried to do more of survival mode and be a little more self-reliant. You know, we have goats and chickens and things like that that help a little bit. But then, of course, there's always food for them. That gets exciting, too. So that's why I was a little concerned about things being cut off, too, and how we who don't have a whole lot of money can try to prepare. And, I mean, are we looking at possibly, like, water being cut off or electricity, or are we hoping nothing like that's going to happen? Or, I mean, we're used to going 5 and 6 days sometimes without anything. So I yield.
Cool. You're 5 or 6 days ahead of the rest of us who don't. We have, we wake up in Arizona and you look up and it's sunny today. Weather going to be likely over 100, at least at this time of the year. So, yeah, once again, I don't know that we can have a crystal ball to see what's ahead. I think that one needs to be prayerful. I think, as the president suggests, we're going into a time of prayer and fasting. I would encourage us all to ask. Say, Lord, what is it that you would have, what is prudent for me and my family to have set aside, and let God put it on your heart. And I just give you my own story on that. I have just witnessed throughout my life that I just let the Lord tell me in advance what he wants for me. That's the way I buy every car I buy. Lord, you know what it is that I need. You just show me what it is. And, you know, I don't have an attachment to what it is. I listen to what he says and I do it. So I just encourage that sort of dialogue with a good Lord and see what he says. All right, our next caller is out of Minnesota. Matthew, good evening, sir.
Hello.
Oh, ma'am. Is it? Or Matthew? I'm sorry.
Matthew. Yep.
Hi, Matthew. Welcome
hey.
To the call.
I had a question about the pray and proclaim and stuff. I was going a little fast. I was wondering, did anybody catch that and stuff when the president was getting that and stuff?
Yes, Matthew, I did. And we're going to try to also post this up on the website along with a call. And I'm sure that we'll have a Republic release on it. But here's what I wrote down.
Okay.
Says he's starting a fast on Sunday, which is April 29th. He'd like to do 3 days or more. It's up to you. First is to proclaim that this republic is seated.
Okay, this part, 29th.
And I'm going to go through them all, and then you'll be able to replay this call to get them again if you miss them.
Oh, okay.
The second one is proclaim that God will let us find favor with specific nations. And God will let us find favor with specific individuals in those nations. The president did not specify which nations, didn't want to compromise any. So number two is to proclaim that God will let us find favor with specific individuals in specific nations. Three, proclaim that we seek favor with those agencies in Washington and those individuals who love America, who are within those agencies. And the fourth one is to proclaim that God will break the powers of evil forces working against us. Did you get those, Matthew?
Yeah, I got the.
Okay.
I got the first two. I'll have to replay the call again just so I can get it again. So.
Okay. Did you have any other questions? Or comments?
No comments.
All right, Matthew. Thank you for your call.
Yep.
Pat, our next caller is Nelson Scott out of Colorado.
Yes, thank you very much. Enjoying the conference. God bless all. Thank you all for your hard work. And I'm just loaded down with questions over here. I'm going to have to be quick about it.
Well, let's start with your first one.
Let's start with the first one. You betcha.
How do you eat an elephant, Nelson?
Well, you just start with the first bite, or kill the elephant first.
We'll go with a bite.
Thanks for
very
the
good.
Test. I appreciate the test. On the protocol on recruiting, I heard county brought up quite a few times. I know that that's a bad spot for us to be doing, and we're going to be changing the county into some other name. I'd like to know if that's on agenda for really coming up with a name, a region or district or something like that. I don't look really for an answer to that right now, just a concern. The other one on the Constitution is the law of the land. And I'm glad to know the Supreme Court, the federal Supreme Court, agrees with me that the Constitution is to be applied, not interpreted in any way. Every word, every syllable, every punctuation is there for a reason. They didn't have whiteout or anything like that or easy to change it. The other thing about the Constitution, it's applicable, it's the people's duty to apply it to the governing body. And I say the governing body because as a republic, the people are the government. And they have to learn how to be a government. And I like, and a republic has a very good format and agenda for bringing people in to communications for a representative republic. And that's very good. The Constitution is a job description for the governing body who get there. The people hire them, the government, the people hire them through the route of voting. And that's pretty much what I have to say on the Constitution. And the other thing is, do we have 42 states yet? Also to be looked at very carefully in the future, the cities certainly are a cancer to the Constitution and freedom in the way they are structured to bring them, making their own laws, really as regulations or codes or policies or things like that, mandates that are similar to law, but they are not law. They also have an authority that is hard to challenge on annexation and taking people's land to join a city. The city has got to be looked at as a vertical countryside, and the Constitution must be applied in the city just as much as any other part of the country, or else we will lose the future to the cities as they start touching each other and just take up the whole country. We can avoid that. I'm going to stop there. There's too many questions.
Well, you sure have a whole bunch of them, for sure. Let's break it down and look at your first one, if anybody wants to take a crack at it. See, I think you're a bit ahead of the game here, actually, because you're talking about the name change of counties and regions and districts. You know, I know we've still got a whole area there. When Nathan was on last, he talked about the whole issue of county and the whole languaging of that. So and going slow and the whole county settlement documents, et cetera. So we don't have anyone on the judicial branch here to actually address that this week, unless there is one of the other guests who has comments about it, who knows more than I do on it. You're more than welcome to weigh in.
Robert, this is Roger Evans. Can you hear me okay?
Oh, hi, Roger. Yeah, absolutely.
Great. If I may, sir, I would like to address some of the gentleman's questions and basically share a little bit of American history, if I may, for it'll probably take 2 or 3 minutes to cover this, if that's okay.
Go ahead.
Thank you. He was speaking of the Constitution and the people being the government. That's correct, but it's also incorrect. We do not have direct government. We have indirect government known as representative government.
You're fading out. I can't hear you.
Okay. Is that any better, sir?
Yes.
I'm up here in the middle of North Dakota, and I'm very fortunate to even have telephone service. we'll do our best.
I understand what you're saying, and I agree with that.
Okay, great. Back in, and I'm going to fish for dates. I'm going to have to give this to you off the top of my head. But I know in 1776, on January the 1st, Mr. Mason put out a word to all the delegates of all 13 colonies to send their delegates so that they could come to Philadelphia so they could meet and have a convention to amend the Articles of Confederation because it was not working.
Yes.
That meeting was scheduled for the 11th of September, 1786. They met on September 17th of 1786, and of the 13 colonies, only 5 colonies sent 12 delegates. Now, if anybody understands anything about the Articles of Confederation, to amend the Articles of Confederation, you had to have unanimity. That meant every delegate from every colony had to meet and had to agree on everything or nothing would change.
Yes.
They met from September the 11th of 1786 until about the 15th of February, best memory serves me, 1787. And finally had to throw up their hands because they could not get a consensus where they could do anything to mitigate any of the problems that all of the colonies was having with the Articles of Confederation. So all of the delegates that were sent there by the authority of we the people changed boats in the middle of the stream, if you will, and put together a constitution. Now what they done... from about the 15th of March of 1787 until the 17th of September of 1787 was draft a constitution that all 13 colonies could get on board with.
Yes.
He did not have to have unanimity. All they had to have was 3/4, if memory serves me correct.
Yes.
In 1787, when they signed the document, the constitution, that piece of paper was nothing more than a blueprint on how to run a government that was set forth by representatives, delegates of we the people.
Yes.
Keep in mind that the created is always great, or is never greater than the creator. So from 1787, actually to 1788 and 1789, whenever they finalized this, and it's like they, in 1787, they built a car and they set it on the curb. They physically had a machine there that they could do something with, but they didn't have anybody to drive it. What they done was what I feel it was brilliant. The office of representative of we the people was not created until an oath of office was taken to the Constitution. The Constitution was created by we the people, and in essence, what happens is when a representative takes an oath of office to the Constitution, that is a firm and binding contract with we the people who created that original document. A lot of folks do not understand that. And one of the beautiful parts about being in a republic, any one individual can bring a charge against a representative if he's acting extra-constitutionally.
Correct.
He can do that through the grand jury. And
yeah.
I don't need to go into a grand jury. I think we all understand how they work, the common law grand jury, of course. But when we stop and we look at the historical structure of the Constitution, it was brilliant the way that it was drafted, because if an individual operates outside of his jurisdictional authority, then he has no authority, and he's not operating in that office because that office is not even formed. And with that, I yield. Thank you.
You're correct. If I could respond to that quickly, yes. The political leaders, the ones that are voted in, is what the Constitution applies to. You're absolutely right. And the Bill of Rights, you have no rights in the Constitution. It is the jobs that the representatives must adhere to for the needs of the people. But no rights are given in the body of the Constitution. They are given in the Bill of Rights in 1791 because of the Anti-Federalist Papers brought an issue that there were no rights in the Constitution. And so the founders did promise, and they kept their word back then, to come up with the Bill of Rights. And the Bill of Rights is really innumerable. But everything else, I agree with everything you have to say, and I just had to add that part in. I thank you for that response. Thank you much.
My pleasure. I would like to suggest, sir, if you have the opportunity to get online, I will make a plug for Mary Webster, who is a direct descendant of Daniel Webster, who wrote the 1828 dictionary so that the words could not be modified or changed that was in the Constitution. She has a website, and she publishes the Federalist Papers, and I find them absolutely fascinating to read. As a matter of fact, I just went over the 78 here about a week ago, and I found that fascinating. If you have an opportunity, I would suggest you you take a look at Federalist Papers number 78. It's a very, very interesting reading.
Yes, I will. I do have a copy of the Federalist Papers and the Anti-Federalist Papers. I had two copies of Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary, of which I gave one to a friend. And I also have a complete volume, five volumes of the Founder's Constitution, which is discussions of all of the things they went through on each article and section and clause and so on. And I enjoy them very much. One of the most key factors of a Noah Webster's dictionary of 1828, it must be part of everybody's learning of the Constitution. The one major one in there that has been seized on but this modern, if you can call it that, government, its corporation, is the word welfare. It's outstandingly different than what it was meant to be, along with some other things. Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary is essential.
Well, thank you for that, Nelson. I'm going to have to redirect this back to your questions. I have one other answer for you, and then we're going to move on to the next call. We have, according to Janine Stewart, who just texted me, we have 38 green states. So
okay, we're close, aren't we?
We're 38, and we're close on four. I forget on the governor's call and on the executive branch call, they actually detailed it a little more carefully. So if you ask your governor in your state how the call on Monday went, he should or she should be able to give you the details of that. And
thank
with
you
that, you're most welcome. With that, we're going to move on to our next caller, who is area code 802. Good evening.
Hello?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, this is David Gauthier from out of Vermont. I'm at Senator David Gagne's house. He's on vacation right now. But I had two questions, but first I have a little something to say. I went and spoke with the Attorney General the other day about what I could do on the OSA office for the local police department to where, because where they're saying that they don't have to supply us with a oath of office, which I have the chief of police on video stating that he does not have to supply us with an oath of office, and that was that. And he told me, well, if they do not do that, then what I could do is I could go down and file a lawsuit and file charges against them for not supplying that. But the question that I was asking, that I want to ask, is that about the IDs. Everybody's asking about funding and stuff like that. It's nice, but I'm not really worried about that right now. I'm worried about the actual IDs because my brother brought it to my attention the other day about the website, and when I looked at it, it was saying on there that it was updated like in the middle of last year to where you could actually purchase the IDs, and I was wondering if that's still standing or are we still having to wait on that.
Oh, thanks for your question, David. Actually, the IDs are anything that was updated last year. I'm not sure which website, if you're talking about the original ID website.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, if you're talking about the original ID website, we do not have control of that website. So all members have been cautioned to steer clear of it. It's, from what I understand, based somewhere in Japan. And so any information that's on there and anything you do at your own risk. It's not endorsed by the Republic. Having said that, Congress is now in the process of deliberating on IDs. It's clearly a state issue. And there's two different levels of ID. There's a state level and a national level of ID. But
right.
That is...
there's a travel warrant, too, as well.
Right. All of those pieces really need to be addressed by those areas of government that can talk to that. Those are not really specific to our topics this evening. So if you'd like to table that, and we'll try to get you an answer for that as we come into one of our future calls where we're actually discussing the whole issue of IDs. But for now, IDs are not, we're not actively issuing IDs, that we're not at that stage yet. There's still some other pieces that are still being put into place.
Okay, and my second question is, I heard him talking about case a bump in the road happens and stuff happens, you know, with the de facto government case about law, the local law arresting people and stuff like that, and I was wondering if once we are established and seated, right, and what if that bump in the road happens then, right, can they actually do anything to us? Being sovereign, being as we're sovereign and part of another government.
Well, I think what I'm hearing the president say is that there may be a bump in the road as there's a transition. And it's not just happening in America, it's happening globally. And if that's the case, that it's best to duck. It's best to duck, stay out of harm's way, because mud's going to be hitting the fan for selected individuals. And if you don't need to be part of it, don't just, you know, as I think, Robert, what was your opening comment? You said something, in fact, I liked it so much I typed it in on your sheet. You said something that the last thing in the world you want to do is to let someone else's emergency become your own. Is that what you said, Robert?
Yep.
You want to embellish on that?
Yeah. Well, I've worked construction for the bulk of my life, and the one thing that I've learned is that everybody has an emergency all the time. And if you allow other people's emergencies to become yours, you end up just like a guy that nails one of his feet down to the floor and is running around in circles. You're going 100 miles an hour, and you're not getting anything done. Be calm. Keep a clear head.
Right.
Yeah.
That's actually not kind of funny because I used to do roofing, and I did actually nail my foot to the roof by accident. So.
Oh, okay. So then you're fully aware of that.
Yes, I am. And it's not a pretty sight.
Thank you. I appreciate your call.
Yeah, but no, I was just wondering, because even if we were a standing government and we were up and running, right, that's why I was wondering, could they actually do something to us even though we're a standing government?
David, we're working on becoming a standing government, so let's put our attention on doing the next right thing we can in terms of getting seated, and we'll let the chips fall where they may as we get to that point in the road here. Otherwise, I think it would just be speculating.
Right. No, I was just wondering, because I know if we become a standing government alongside of them, you know, could things affect us from that side? That's all I was wondering.
Well, you've got some good questions here, David. Thank you very much. Some of that is just going to play out in time, and maybe you'll end up writing a book about what you see, because it's going to change, and it looks to me like it's real close now.
That's good, and I yield the floor with that. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Smith Anthony, or Anthony Smith, out of area code 402, you are our next caller. You have the floor, sir. Well, I'm not seeing that you're hearing us. So if you want to come back into the queue, Anthony Smith, you can do that. You press
Hello?
The star. There you go. Now we go.
Oh, sorry about that. I had my phone muted. This is Anthony Smith with the Nebraska Free State. I was just adding to what the gentleman was saying about preparedness and what the lady, she had a question earlier. And my assessment, and that's exactly what it should be, is a personal assessment. You need to look around at where you live.
Because mm-hmm. It's not necessary for you to, it may not be necessary for you to do anything. I mean, most of the people we know are going to get up and move. They're going to panic and run to the hills. They're going to go out in the woods and the forest. Maybe the smart thing might be to just stay where you're at. And there's lots of information out there. There's books. Even YouTube has several additions to it that show things like water purification, how to make your own water purification system. If you don't have, you can't get a bunch of stored food, can some. There's things you can do on our own. I'm hoping that it doesn't come to that, and chances are it may not, but you can prepare in the meantime. But you have to remember, God did not make us with a spirit of fear, or does not want us to have that. Fear is the one thing that will get you. I mean, you can put yourself in situations you'll never get out of because of that fear. So I'm that's just my bit I wanted to throw in there. I yield.
Thank you, Anthony. Does any of our guests want to make any other comments? I'd just like to say, if there's any other questions too, regards to the ideas that have been set forth on the Republic prototype of the onboard system, or the mind map that Representative Gardner has put forth, you can also go in the queue. Our next, and you do that. How do you do that, Pat?
Yes, this is Mark.
Hey, Monty.
Robert, could you give that gentleman from North Dakota my cell phone number, please? I want to make sure he knows how to get into our republic.
The fellow from?
North Dakota. He said we're lucky to have phone service out here. He's very correct if you're talking about cell service, but most of the places have decent landline service.
Well, are you working out there, Roger? He's on the line here. Are you working out there, Roger? Is that the issue?
Yes, sir, I sure am.
Okay. Well, if you like, I'll give you Monty's number offline. How's that?
That'll work. You can send me an email if you like or whatever. Text would be fine also.
This is your cell that you're on the call on?
That's correct.
Okay. I'll give you Monty's number. Do you want to say anything else, Monty? And I'd kind of like to have you hang on and close us in a word of prayer, if you would.
I would highly encourage everybody to think of an example in the Bible where you have two people fighting with their armor, their backs to the other person's back. You better be prepared to face your enemy in wisdom, not just going out there as a hothead. We had a guy in our republic at one time that went out and bought semi-automatic rifles and everything else. And I said, well, did you get yourself a helmet and a bulletproof vest? No. I said, well, then how long are you going to last? At that, I yield.
Monty, you are going to fall off, so if you wouldn't mind pressing *6 again. I have one more caller after you, and I'd like you to close us in prayer if you would. Okay, last caller, area code 802. It sounds like it's David again. Is that you, David?
No, it's Edward from the Republic of Vermont.
Hi, Edward.
I think my brother's trying to say that me and my brother are already in the law system, okay? Now, the chances of us going to court, which we have pretty soon, okay, and it's like around the same time that this incident is going to happen. Now, what's the chances of us going to jail on this incident? You know, it's like, and how are we going to be able to defend ourselves in this matter, you know, to be able to be peaceful if these courts already, you know, say, hey, this is our chance to put these people in so we don't have to worry about them? With that question, how do you use the floor?
Thanks, Edward. Once again, I'm going to defer it till we have the judiciary represented on the call to offer comment on that. Is that all right with you?
It's fine.
Okay. Yeah, you bring up a good question, and part of that's all the whole reason we need to be in prayer to get the Republic seated, to have favor in the right places in Washington, to have the favor in the right places in other nations, and really, we have been at this battle for a long time, and the pieces are starting to turn now. And you know, where we're caught in the fray is really a matter of being discerning. You know, if it's appropriate to duck, there's no point in being a hero when it's clearly incoming fire and there's no value in keeping your head up. Wait till it calms down and then take the next step. And I think that's kind of what the president's saying about being ready for a bump in the road. And that is
That's one big bump, because
yes,
we feel better to get out of this situation, you know. And we just kind of have some security of a backup here, you know. And
sure,
someone that experienced could help us out in this matter on how to handle this case. You know, I mean, we pretty much experienced pretty well this far, and I think we got him like we're almost where we want him. And we do have Senator Dave, but the thing is, we need somebody in the law form that's very swiftly and smart, even if he's an old lawyer, he used to be a lawyer or whatever, attorney, that would give me a call and fill me in a little bit how to handle the situation. It would be awesome.
Well, I would encourage you to listen for upcoming calls where we have the judiciary represented, and then weigh in at that time to get some response.
Well, our court date is coming real quick here. It's coming next month. And if I don't get a quicker response, then I ain't going to know how to defend this.
Well, then I would say send an email to justice You know, Janine, I don't know if you're still listening to this. Do you have the email for the Justice Department? I think it's justice@republicoftheunitedstates.org. Send an email to that, and you'll get one of the chief justices or the law team folks, and they'll be able to point you in the right direction.
What was it again?
Justice.
J-U-S-T-U-S?
No, J-U-S-T-I-C-E.
E-I-C-E, yeah.
At republicoftheunitedstates.org.
Okay, justice@republicoftheunitedstates.org?
Correct.
Okay, thank you very much. I use this for.
Okay, you're welcome, Edward. All right, well, thank you all very much this evening. I've got Monty in the call. Oh, somebody slipped in after you, Monty. So hang on 1 second. I'm going to manually unmute you. Nelson, go ahead, sir.
Oh, yes. There was one other request on the prayer. The fourth concern is the Lord give us to help destroy the evil that grips this country and the world. There was four things to proclaim.
Yes, that's very good. We'll go over them one more time here before Monty closes us in prayer. Number one is to proclaim that the Republic is seated. Number two is to proclaim that God will let us find favor with specific nations and with specific individuals in specific nations. Number three is we proclaim that we seek favor with those agencies and those individuals in those agencies in Washington who love America. And the fourth one is, as Nelson says, to proclaim that God will break the powers of evil forces working against us.
Thank you.
Thank you, Nelson.
You're welcome. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you all for joining us on the call this evening. You can hear the replay on not only on the Republic website, but also on republicsg.info. And I would like to invite Monty Olson to close us this evening in a word of prayer. And I'd like to also thank all of our guests for being available, for putting it out there, laying out your ideas. And Monty, if you would just hold one more second. Gentlemen, would you like to give contact information? Let's start with you, Mark Gardner.
Sure. If anyone would like to, let me spit this out here. If anyone would like to contact me concerning the membership processing project or the committee on the General Advisory Board on Integration and Standardization, either one of those, you can contact me at m.gardner@republicoftheunitedstates.org. And I just would like to say one other thing here. I'm happy to see that the president and the leadership is looking at the concepts of these councils. That's exciting news, and I think that these think tanks, councils, whatever you want to call them, will be very useful for the Republic as we proceed forward. And thank you again for allowing me to be here. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Mark. Thanks for your contribution tonight. Sure. Bernie Schock, would you like to give out any contact information for those who want to follow up with you? And do you have any closing comments?
Sure. Use my Republic Congress address, which is B as in boy, dot S-C-H-O-C-H. And that's my last name. It's like school, but it ends in C-H, at republiccongress.org. And as a closing comment, we are interested in, Mark's already started to do that, is get people who have different skills. And the idea is we can concentrate these skills, and then those skills that are available to the states and to the Congress or whatever, these specialized skills. And, for example, if you're interested in helping with some software development or some ideas or whatever, that's good, too. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. And Mark Hafner, are you still on the call? I don't see you there. So Robert McCoy, do you have any contact information or closing comments that you'd like to make?
Sure. If anybody's got any questions, they can email me at McCoyFamily6@Q.com. If you could just put in a subject heading of preparedness or something like that, then I'll know what it is. Just as an aside note, you sound a little bit better this evening, Robert. Did that onion work for you?
It did, man. It was so amazing. It was so amazing. Thank you so much. I got up at 4:30 this morning and went for a walk. It was so good.
Outstanding.
Oh, all right. Why don't you share with everyone your wives' tail remedy? It's very amazing. I was sick as a dog yesterday. I took the day off work. I was feeling miserable. And Robert said this to me. Go ahead.
Well, if you've got a cold, a very good homeopathic remedy is to take an onion, you cut it in half, and you heat it, get it real hot. And then you take a small, you know, like a tea towel or a hand towel, whatever, and put that down over your chest, remove your clothing, put that down over your chest, and you set that onion on top of that towel, and you lay down for about an hour. And you're not going to think that anything's happening. And you just sit there with that onion on your chest. You breathe in, you know, normally everything's going to be, and you'll go to bed that night feeling just as bad as you did, and you'll wake up the next morning feeling shipshape and ready to go.
That is such a truth. I was just amazed. So thank you. That was very good. And it took me, I tell you, I was counting the minutes towards the last of the hour. I was going, no, I'm going to do this. I'm going to make it an hour. And I'd move it from one side to the next on my chest. So. Thank you, Robert. Well, once
all
again,
right.
Thanks
yep,
to all
good
our...
evening.
Thank you, sir. Thanks to all of our guests. Thanks to all of you who've stayed with us on the call. And I'd like to invite Monty to close us in a word of prayer.
Dearest Heavenly Father, Dearest Heavenly Father, I ask that you be with us, that you help us operate in wisdom, that we be willing and able to discern your spirit and your direction and the moves that we are to make. Give us the courage, Father, to stay totally out of fear, and that we think with logical minds, that our ability to work through any possible negative situation that comes our way keeps us out of harm, Father. And if it is necessary that we ask you to send angels to protect us, help us remember to do it. And Father, we ask, Father, that we be able to operate in love and in peace. And then if there is necessary for vengeance, Father, help us be willing to turn that over to you for the vengeance and for us to be as peaceful, loving, calm, and understanding in this period of time so that we can be of help to those that are going to need somebody that is not all shook up, somebody that is not panicking. And if we could even be able to be prepared to the point where we have supplies that can even help others because they weren't wise enough. Help us, Father. Help us not be cities of refuge, but homes of refuge where people can literally trust us enough to help them with their life that we can share and become sisters and brothers in the Lord in this process of bringing our nation to a moral foundation. Father, we ask that you help us as we go into preparing ourselves mentally and physically for the fast, that you help us discern that we do it wisely. If somebody has never done a fast, there are many ways to learn about it, but that they not take out on their first meal out of the fast, because it could literally put them into an extreme trauma situation. Father, we thank you that you love us. We ask you to guide us and encourage us, watch over us, and protect us.
and help us go forward in peace and love. And we pray this in Yeshua's mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Monty. We're going to close out with, I believe, Pat's got something called Be Still and Know. I want to thank Pat for being on the board tonight. It was her first launch on it, and just thank you for what you've been doing behind the scenes. Be still and know. God willing, we'll hear from you all next week.
The Bible shows us that many times that as people were about ready to approach a difficult battle, that they would just lift their hands and worship Jesus. And they said, just worship the Lord, and as they would just stand and believe Him, that God would fight their battle for them. Amen? And there's some of you this morning that might be going through a real difficult time. Maybe you're in the midst of a real battle. I want you to just lift your hand right now. And I want you to give it to God. I want you to be still and know that He is God. And I want you to stand still before the Lord, lift in your hands and worship to Him, and let Him fight that battle for you right now. Great reward.
and know that I am God.
Yeah.
Be still and know you're God.
You gotta know you're God.
Give him a big praise offering. He's worthy of it. Thank you, Jesus.